السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم
أبا يوسف، السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
How are you؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ. أنا
Can we start with our class this morning, inshallah؟ إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Our class is on the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah. We had had a temporary stop from it when shortly before Ramadan commenced. We thought that in the month of Ramadan, the matter should be about the Quran. More so that we are now in a generation where even reciting the Quran is a thing that many of the Muslims are found wanting about. So we thought that being in Ramadan, we should pay a better attention to the Quran. So Ramadan, and shortly before Ramadan, was a period to remind ourselves about the Quran, the importance of reciting the Quran, and then we started to explain parts of the Quran. We hope that inshallah, in this class today or tomorrow, we'll be able to convey to us when to continue that class about explaining the Quran. Inshallah, either before the end of this class or by the class tomorrow, we shall be able to say to us when we will be able to continue to explain the Quran. But our class is on the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari. We are always on the mornings of Saturdays and Sundays like this. And we hope that as we have resumed the class, that class will continue, inshallah, as we had started it. The classes on Al-Adab al-Mufrad will continue in the mornings of Ayyam al-Sabt and Al-Ahad as we started. And when we started the book, we told us that Al-Adab al-Mufrad actually has the name Al-Adab. Al-Imam al-Bukhari Rahimahullah titled the book Al-Adab, meaning manners. But by way of differentiating between Kitabul Adab, the chapter about manners in the book Sahih al-Bukhari, in his Sahih, and this book that is specifically written for Adab, this book became popularly known as Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that is to say, the book that is specifically written and dedicated on the matters of Al-Adab, manners in Islam and good character. So Al-Adab al-Mufrad is the book by Al-Imam al-Bukhari specifically written to teach us the manners and the good character that Islam has come with. Fortunately, that book has started with the manners regarding our parents, the importance of obedience to parents, the rights of the parents, and then it went to the issues on the rights of kingship, our relatives, our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, and the rest of our relatives. it mentioned what are the benefits that the Muslim stands to gain when he is diligent, when he is kind with his parents, and when he is also kind in his relationship to relatives. We also mentioned after that, bismillah, the matters regarding our children, both males and females. How do we handle our relationship with our children, and more especially our daughters? And we mentioned that the daughters were specifically highlighted because many of us, many Muslims, fail regarding the issues about their daughters. So the daughters were specifically mentioned, and the virtues of taking care of and being kind to the daughters were mentioned. After the narrations regarding our children, we came on the issues regarding our neighbors, Al-Jar. And the first chapter we came across regarding that is Babu Al-Wasat Bil-Jar, yani Babu Al-Wasiyat Bil-Jar, the chapter that discussed the messenger's admonition regarding the jar, that is the strong abjurations of the Sharia regarding our neighbors. We remember that hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam that was variously reported by the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. In our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad alone, it has been reported by Abdullah ibn Umar. It was reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. It was also reported by our mother, radiyallahu anha, Aisha. That the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that ma zala Jibreelu yusini biljar hatta dhanantu annahu sayuwarrifuhu. Ma zala Jibreelu yusini biljar hatta dhanantu annahu sayuwarrifuhu. Jibreel continued to encourage me, give me admonitions, remind me about being kind to the neighbor, so much that zanantu annahu sayuwarrithuhu, I was thinking that Jibreel will bring an instruction from Allah that the neighbor should share from the estate that the individual leaves behind. That hadith became repeatedly read in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And we also discussed the importance of caring for our neighbor, the closer the neighbor, and all of these regarding the neighbor. We came to Babu al-Jar su, Babu al-Jar su, the matters regarding the evil neighbor. And we mentioned the dua that the Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam would say to ask for Allah's refuge regarding the bad neighbor, that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su' fi dari al-maqam, fa inna jari al-dunya yatahawwal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su'. Oh Allah, I ask your refuge against al-jari su', the evil neighbor, the neighbor who would cause harm to me, fi dar al-maqam, fi dar al-muqam, in the home of permanent existence. Inna jar al-dunya yatahawwal, because the neighbor in this dunya changes. The neighbor when you travel changes. The neighbor when you are on a journey changes. Someone will stay with you in a room. The neighborhood will change when you travel from that journey. But in a place of permanent residence where you have built for yourself or where you intend to stay for the rest of life, we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from evil neighbors in these kinds of residences. And then we came to the chapter where we stopped before the break, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about the evil of being unkind to our neighbors. And that came under the chapter heading, Babun La Yu'zi Jarahu. La Yu'zi Jarahu. The chapter regarding the fact that the Muslim should not bring harm to his neighbor. The Muslim should not bring harm to his neighbor. Before we continue in this chapter, I like to bring a reminder to us all, beginning from myself. And that reminder is that within the period of the break that we had regarding this lesson during Ramadan, many of us would have been unkind to our neighbors out of forgetfulness and weakness. We may not have fulfilled what we have heard so far in this class. Regarding the neighbor, we might have fallen short regarding our children, our daughters, and our sons. We might have put up actions that are not praiseworthy. We might have put up actions regarding our relatives, regarding your brothers, regarding your sisters, regarding your uncle. You might have said something that would have brought harm to them. You might have done something that would have brought inconvenience to your neighbor, to your relatives, to your uncle, and in fact, to your parents. And then Shaitan will be, may Allah protect us all, suggesting to the individual that, oh, that's all. It's not all. It's not all. If you have, if any of us, beginning from the one who is encouraging us upon all these good deeds, beginning from him, if in any circumstance, during the break especially, because whenever sermons are not given as remembrance, the weakness of man becomes more exposed whenever there are no sermons, whenever there are no reminders. The human weakness becomes clearer, more exposed. So if anybody had fallen short regarding all these duties and responsibilities, it is not for him to now relax and say, okay, that's all. The individual has fallen. If Shaitan had suggested evil to you, or because of the weakness of man, you had fallen short in all of these, don't think that you should continue to fall short. If you had fallen short, what is expected of us in this deen is for the individual to turn a new leaf and try to rectify his failures. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had read a hadith when a companion came to him, radiallahu anhu. The companion came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and mentioned to him that he left his parents crying. That companion had said or had done something that made the parents cry. The parents were weeping. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and mentioned that. What did the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam? The Prophet said, Irji'i ilayhima fadhikhuma kama abukaytahuma. Irji'i ilayhima. Go back to your parents. A companion had made his parents to cry. This is what many of us would have done. May Allah protect all of us. Somebody might have made his parents to weep. Somebody might have made his children to weep. Somebody might have made his relatives, his sisters, his brothers, his aunt, his uncle to weep because of his statement or because of an action. Any of these, or even our neighbors, somebody might have said or done something amongst us that would have caused his neighbor to weep out of sadness because of this inaction from any one of us. What we should do is what the Prophet told that companion to do, alayhi salatu wasalam. Said, irji ilayhim, go back to your parents. Fa'adhikhuma, make them cry, kama abkaita, as you had made them to weep, made them to smile, make them smile, bring laughter to them. Make them to smile, make them to laugh, kama abukaitahum, as you had made them to cry. This was the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that regarding all these narrations and lessons that we take, whenever a violation of these lessons happen to us, instead of allowing Shaitan to give us a permanent defeat, because it will amount to a permanent defeat if the individual thinks that he cannot rectify himself, and that instead of rectifying himself, he continues in that act of laxity. Instead of rectifying himself or herself, the individual continues in that laxity, thinking that a pious man cannot be lax. This is a wrong impression. So what the individual should do is to go back and rectify himself as he had been lax. Your laxity is not evidence that you cannot rectify yourself. You can rectify yourself. The Prophet had told the companion, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa radiyallahu anhu, who had made his parents to cry. He says, irji' ilayhim, go back to them. Fadhikhuma kama abukaitahuma. Make them smile as you had made them to cry. It is not from the symbols of piety that you will never make a mistake or go lax and commit a sin. It does not mean so. The righteous person in the Sharia, as defined by the Quran, is not necessarily the one who never committed an error. He's not the one who never committed a sin. That would be a ma'soom. And there is no ma'soom. There is no ma'soom. There is no person who never errs. That person does not exist. He's not a human being. The one who never commits a mistake. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, said to us, he says, Kullu bani Adam khata'un. Look at this. The Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Kullu bani Adam khata'un. Kullu bani Adam khata'un. Every child, every descendant, every offspring of Adam, khata'un, is a person who regularly commits sins. Someone who regularly errs. Someone who regularly makes mistakes. But he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa khayru khata'in at-tawwabun. Khayru khata'in. The best of those who err, they are those who regularly repent. As they err, they repent. As they err, they repent. So if you have failed regarding your parents, you made your parents to cry, irji' ilayhima fa'adhikhuma kama abukaita. If you have made your son, your child, your sister, you brought inconvenience to them, go back and bring convenience to them. If you had brought inconvenience to your neighbor, go back and right yourself. Seek repentance with Allah and go back to rectify the situation. Don't let Shaitan beat you a second time. Don't think that if you want to be a pious and a righteous person, what it means is that you will never make a mistake. That is not the meaning of righteousness in Islam. And we had mentioned that in the hadith that we just mentioned. That the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, kullu bani Adam khata'u. Every person from amongst the children of Adam, khata'u. Look at this siga. It's the siga that shows emphasis, that shows that mistake, committing mistake, is something that will be happening repeatedly. So as it happens repeatedly, your repentance should also be repeated. Go and repent all the time. Go and seek rectification all the time. Go and make amends all the time as you err all the time. This is the issue. When you err, rectify. When you make a mistake, you commit a sin. Repent and turn to Allah. It is not from righteousness, I say again. No one should think that, oh, the righteous man never makes a mistake. And we have the picture of this, the lessons of this, also in the Quran. The Quran makes us understand in Al-Imran. Allah mentions the muttaqun, the righteous people. And he mentions that they make a mistake. The righteous people, muttaqun. He says, wasari'u ila magfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin arduha as-samawati wal-ard uiddat lil-muttaqin. Allah says, I think that's verse 133 in Al-Imran. Let us go back and check this portion of the Quran. He says, wasari'u ila magfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin arduha as-samawati wal-ard. Sari'u ila magfiratin من ربكم. The ulama say, سارعوا إلى مغفرة, بادروا إلى ما يوجب المغفرة. Make haste, seek haste, make haste. Be quick to do good deeds that will earn you Allah's forgiveness. Make haste to do good deeds that will earn you maghfiratun min rabbikum, that will earn you forgiveness from your Lord. It will not only earn you forgiveness, wa jannatin arduha as-samawat wal ard. They will also, these good deeds that the Quran encourages us to quickly proceed and do, they will also make us gain Jannah. They will also make us gain Al-Jannah, of course. The one that makes good deeds, Allah forgives his sin. Bismillah will get Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. Ardu has samawat wal ard. The vastness of this Jannah is as samawat, like the vastness of the heavens and the earth. The Jannah is so vast, so vast. Allah said, this Al-Jannah, u'iddat lil-muttaqin, it is prepared for those who are righteous, those who are muttaqun, who consciously fear Allah subhanahu. He now wants to tell us about muttaqun. The point why we came to this verse is that a person is muttaqi, that people are muttaqun, it does not mean that they may not commit mistakes. The difference between the muttaqi who commits a mistake, who commits an error, who commits a sin, the difference between himself and the fasiq is that the fasiq behaves like shaitan. When he commits a mistake, when he commits a sin, he's looking for somebody to blame for his sin instead of repenting. If you have urge, repent. Turn to Allah in repentance. Shaitan, instead of turning to Allah in repentance, he was ascribing his failure to Allah. He says, Fabima Abuwaitani, because you have made me go astray. It wasn't Allah who made Shaitan to go astray. So some of the people behave like Shaitan. When they err and make mistakes, instead of rectifying themselves and repenting to Allah, turning to Allah in repentance, they begin to look for somebody to blame for their mistakes. But for Adam alayhi salam, what did he say? Walamna anfusana. Wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. Look at Adam. He said, walamna anfusana. Yes, I have erred, O Allah. I have wronged my own soul. If you don't forgive me, who will forgive me? I'll be amongst the losers. So this is from the honorable people amongst the children of Adam. Those who are muttaqun are those who err and repent and rectify themselves. Muttaqun, they err, but they rectify their error and they turn to Allah in repentance. So Allah cancels their error. But for the fusaq, they behave like shaitan. They will not rectify themselves. They will not make tawbah and rectify, seek repentance with Allah subhanahu. So the point of reference is that here in this verse of the Quran, Allah said, we all should seek good deeds. And we should make these good deeds by way of seeking repentance from Allah. When we seek repentance from Allah, we'll also gain Al-Jannah. And this Jannah is preserved for the pious. These pious now, he wants to tell us about them. Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there are a group of people, alladhina, ينفقون في السراء والضراء والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. These are the traits of the pious people. ينفقون في السراء. When they have profuse, when they have excess wealth, they are happy. When they are comfortable, when they are delighted. ينفقون. Their comfort and joy and sufficient wealth does not make them forget to spend in the path of Allah. Many of the people forget to spend in the path of Allah once Allah provides them. When Allah provides sufficiency for them, they forget to spend in the path of Allah. So they think that they have earned the sufficiency because they were intelligent. So they forget, they ignore spending in the path of Allah. So, but for the people of Al-Jannah, yunfiquna fi sarra'i. In the times of comfort and delights and abundance, yunfiqun, they spend. Wadharra'i. Likewise, when they are in the circumstance of discomfort and inconvenience, they also spend. So whether they have a lot or they have only a little, it does not prevent them from spending. Having a little does not make them become stingy. So whenever they have a lot, they spend. They don't forget. For the sake of Allah, they do so. When they are uncomfortable, they also spend for the sake of Allah. These are noble traits of the people of Al-Jannah. يُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. And then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. Al-ghayz is worse than ghadab. Ghadab is mayaha, anger. Ghayz is rage. When كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, when they become enraged, they swallow the rage. Intensely angry, they will swallow, they will hold kazmin. They will hold it back. They will hold back their rage. They will not express the rage. These are symbols of the people of Al-Jannah. They are major characters. They spend when they are comfortable and when they are not comfortable. They hold back rage. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They overlook the zulm. They overlook the aggression of the people against them. عَافِينَ. They are a people who overlook what people do to them. When people act against them, transgress against their rights, they have عَفْوٌ for them. They look at it and overlook for these people. Allah says, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah likes good doers, meaning that to spend when you are comfortable and uncomfortable is from the aspects of good deeds. To swallow rage is from the aspects of good deeds. To overlook the shortcomings and the sins of the people they direct to you is from the aspects of good deeds. And all these are from the traits of the people of Al-Jannah. Then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. He is telling us about muttaqun. He still says, إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. When they do something that is obnoxious, a shameful deed, they fall into a shameful deed. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسًا. Or they wrong themselves. The ulama say, فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً is with regards to when they themselves do something that is shameful. Regarding themselves, someone regarding himself done something and he feels ashamed about it. Who is that? Who would do something and still feels ashamed? The pious people. So don't think that the pious person is a person who, in every situation, 100%, he will do something he himself will feel comfortable about. No, the righteous man could do something and he himself is ashamed. Why have I done this? Subhanallah. How did I meet myself in this circumstance? Falu fahisha. He does something and he finds himself uncomfortable. How could I have done this? So don't think that if you are a pious man, then in every situation, your statement will be as it should be. Because you are a weak human being and you also forget. So Allah says, this is a falu fahisha. The difference between the righteous person and the one who is not righteous is that the one who is righteous, when he does something that is shameful, أَوْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, he says, أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُ, or they, regarding the other people, they do something that is also shameful. فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. He does it regarding himself. أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُ. He does it regarding someone else in his dealing with another person. He deals with somebody else. That's why it is zulm. So it comes under an aggression or a transgression, an indecent act that he directs to somebody else. When he comes in this situation, zakarullah, he begins to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has not ordained this thing that I have done. And Allah has prohibited this thing that I have done. He has a conscience to say, and Allah has promised to punish whoever does what I have done. And Allah is displeased with what I have done. And I will stand before Allah on the day of Qiyamah to answer for this thing that I have said. This is a righteous person. The righteous person in Islam is not the one who never has an error or a mistake. He's the one who, when he errs, he quickly turns back. Zakarullah. He remembers Allah subhanahu. He errs. The righteous errs. As much as he is up, he falls. He makes mistakes. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِ And then they begin to ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the sins that they have made. And when they do this, they recognize the fact that nobody can forgive them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ This is a major point of reference to لَمْ يُصِرُّوا They will not continue upon that indecency. So don't allow shaitan to make you think that if you have heard regarding your mother and you had heard in the ahadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad how important it is to keep up kindness and dutifulness to parents. And then you don't let shaitan think that you should continue in error. You would have fallen a second fall. Let it just be at that first fall of an error and weakness of a human being and then the deceit of shaitan. Let it be like that. If you fall in the second one to think that you cannot make rectification and become a better person, that's a worse error. The pious people also make mistakes. This is the verse of the Quran, and that is the hadith that we have read. So if we all have heard, and we would have heard, I'm sure we would have heard. Even the one encouraging us might have heard. So we all should go back to the drawing board to rectify ourselves. And keep ourselves regularly reminded. Let's not allow shaitan to put us in the defense. The last hadith we read was a hadith about the prohibition of bringing harm to the neighbor. That companion came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu anhu, qila lin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, Ya Rasulallah, Messenger of Allah, Inna fulana tantakumu layl. So and so woman. That occurs in Hadith number 119. The companions will not mention the name of a person when he commits an error. And they want to ask about his error. It's one of the differences between them and the rest of many of us. Many of us, when we want to mention an error somebody committed, we mention his name. But the companions, when they want to mention and talk about the error of one of them, they conceal the name. They conceal his name. They don't want his name or her name to be mentioned. Imagine that they mention the name of this female companion. How will the son feel when the son hears the name of his mother being mentioned in this kind of a circumstance? The woman was mentioned, Fulana. It's another way of mentioning a woman. And you know, Fulan is the way to mention a man. You say, Fulan did so and so. In this case, the Prophet was asked about Fulana. But her name was concealed by way of preserving her honor and her respect, of course, so that when she goes back to make Tawbah and the sin is written off her, she does not become to suffer from the label from this question. So the companion, radiallahu anhu, was telling the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so and so, it might have even been his own wife, it might have been his sister, it might have been a woman in their neighborhood. He said, radiallahu anhu, inna fulanatan taqumu layl. That woman stands up in the night. It means it's a man who knows about the private worship of the woman. Because otherwise, how would he know that the woman will stand up to make Qiyamul Layl? So he said to the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, inna fulana taqumul layl. So and so woman will stand up to observe Salah in the midnight. Watasumun nahar. She will fast for most of the days. Tasumun nahar. During the daytime, she's fasting. In the night time, she's making Qiyamul Layl. These are great nawafi by which the individual comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَفْعَلُ And she will do taf'alu. You see, the companion did not mention what she does. There is hasful maf'ul ta'ziman li sha'nihi. There is hasful maf'ul. The maf'ul, the what she does was not mentioned. So that it will be clear and big in our sight. It's like telling a child, I'll give you something. What is it, mommy? Don't worry. Let that time come. By way of making the child feel that what you want to give that child is big. So they refer to it in Arabic grammar as what? Hasful maf'ul. You omit the maf'ul, the object, so that the person you talk to can just imagine that it's something that is what big and important. So this woman does great good deeds. She stands up in the middle of the night to make yamule. She fasts for many days of the month and of the week. And then she does a lot of good deeds. He also said, watasadaku. The same thing applies. She gives a lot of sadaqat. She's involved in a lot of contributions. So person is sick, bring money, she gives. We need to feed 1,000 people, she gives. We need to dress 1,000 people in jilbab, she gives. We need to provide for some homes, she gives. She's giving everywhere everybody asks. Even though when the people do not ask. She looks for people who need and she provides for them. This is the kind of woman that has been described to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But she has one thing that she does. وَتُوْذِي جِرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. She hurts her neighbors with her tongue. She does all these good deeds, but she hurts her neighbors with her tongue. They ask the messenger, what is the ruling of a woman like this? The woman who, she does all these good deeds. Like in here, تُوْذِي جِرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. She employs her tongues to hurt her neighbors. What is the ruling of this kind of a woman? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, لَا خَيْرَ فِيهَا. There is no good regarding her. Why? She had destroyed the good with the tongue. Yes, she makes sadaqah, she makes qiyamul layl, she fasts, she does many other good things. But the evil in the evil of the tongue had obliterated these good deeds. So he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la khayra fiha. She has no good in her. And he continued and said, hiya min ahli nar. That is hadith 119, the last hadith we read in this class. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a woman will be from amongst the people of the fire. And that will make us remember the hadith of the muflis. The one who is a poor person. The poor person, the Prophet asked about him. Atadruna man il muflis. Do you know who the poor, needy person is? Al muflis. The one at a loss who has nothing. Do you know who that person is? And the messenger, the companions of the messenger, radiallahu anhum, said, Al muslif man min ummati. They said that the companions told the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam that the muflis is man la dirham lahu wala dinar. The one who has no dirham, no naira and kobo, he's the poor person. The Prophet said, no, the muflis in my ummah is the one who will make salat, will make siyam, but shatama hadha wa sabba hadha وَأَكَلَ مَالَ هَذَا وَصَفَكَ دَمَّ هَذَا. And this kind of person would have abused this one. He would have insulted this one. He would have eaten up the money of that one. He would have taken the soul of so-and-so person, and so on. And then in the day of Qiyamah, his good deeds will be taken. Those salah, those zakat will be taken away from him for those persons that he had abused. So all of these go to show that it is prohibited for us to speak evil to our neighbors. The reason why this woman in this hadith, despite being upon a lot of good deeds, the reason why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that la khayra fiha, hiya min ahli nar, is that she had destroyed the good deeds. She had destroyed the good deeds, bilisaniha, using her tongue. قالوا, the people said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَفُلَانَ تُنْتُصَلِّ الْمَكْتُوبَ. Fulana, there's a second woman. All she's able to do is, she observes the five daily salah. She's able to fulfill the fara'id. She observes subh, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha. The five daily salah, maktuba, the compulsory prayers, that is all she's able to do. Perhaps she's not even able to wake up in the middle of the night. She is perhaps overwhelmed by the duties of the day to her husband, because that is part of the wajibat to a woman. She fulfills her obligations, but she's not able to come up with the nawafi. This is the kind of woman. And watasaddaku bi anwa bi aswar. She's only able to give aswar. The aswar is when you have milk taken from animals, the milk that they take from animals, they make it become cool and congealed. Then they break it into parts. I think something in the like of what we now call wara in our own times. That those are bits of cubits. So she gives those things. Perhaps she milks them from her animal. That's what she's able to provide. When Siddiqa says, we are feeding 5,000 people street kitchen, she's not able to provide a penny. When this year says, we are feeding souls in Ramadan, she's not able to provide a qabr. When they say so and so is sick, bring money, she's not able to provide anything. She's only able to make five daily salah and fulfill the other obligations of a woman regarding her. And then she can only give the little, the meanest of things. One point of benefit here, oh sister, is that, and brothers too, no matter how little we have, try to still give from your little. So this woman hasn't much, so she can only provide from the little that she has. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was further asked about that second woman. Wala tu'zi ahada. Despite the fact that she's only able to make obligations, la tu'zi ahada, she does not hurt people. She does not abuse people. So it's not about how much good deeds alone. It is also about, are you doing something that will be destroying those good deeds? So if the good deeds are not so much, but you fulfill your basic obligations, and you're only able to protect yourself from falling into harm, that is better for the individual than doing a lot of nawafil, and also doing a lot of good deeds that will be destroying the nawafil. May Allah protect us from this loss, because it is loss. It is loss. May Allah protect us. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about this second woman, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam answered that, هِيَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that second woman is from the people of Al-Jannah. And that's why the point of reference in this hadith is that it is not lawful for us to hurt our neighbors. Don't bring harm to your neighbor. كَفُّ الْأَذَى عَنِ الْجِرَارِ. Remove, protect your neighbor from whatever hurt. Don't hurt your neighbor. The chapter we are upon is the chapter about the virtue of not hurting the neighbor and the evil of hurting the neighbor. So if your home is a home of worship, you read Quran in your house, you make tilawah of Quran, you give a lot of sadaqah, you fast a lot Mondays and Thursdays, ayyamul bid, you make qiyamul layl in your home every day, but you hurt your neighbor, don't forget that that hurting your neighbor will be destroying the good deeds that you perform. This shows that it is from the greatest of evils that someone will fall into, to be hurting the neighbor. In this hadith that we read, the woman who was doing all the good deeds but hurting the neighbor, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hiya min ahli nar. She is from the people of the fire. And the one who was doing only the obligatory deeds, but was not hurting the neighbor, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hiya min ahli al-jannah. That woman is from amongst the people of al-jannah. So mind your tongue, O woman. Mind your tongue, O man. Don't hurt your neighbor with your tongue. Don't hurt your neighbor with what you say. Don't hurt your neighbor with your limbs. with your action, with your hand, with your behavior. Don't hurt your neighbor. The worst thing you can do to your neighbor is to bring hurt to him. And we have seen what it has done to that woman. How about the one who has only few deeds and still hurts the neighbor? If a person who has a lot of good deeds but hurts the neighbor, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la khayra fiha. There is no goodness in her. How about the one, and many of us are in this circumstance now, our deeds are few today. Our deeds are few today. So if you have few deeds, why do you add to your problem? By bringing hurt to your neighbor. Don't hurt your neighbor in any way. Be sure that you are not hurting your neighbor. No matter your deeds, big or small, much or few, be sure that you are not from amongst the people who bring hurt to their neighbors. May Allah protect us from this evil. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue with Hadith 120, still under the chapter of the prohibition of hurting the neighbors. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand better than we have tried to explain, to protect us all against these evils, and to make us from amongst people who are guided always in their actions and in their statements. There is no one amongst us that the shaitan has left to go free. As you hear the sermon, he wants to make you contradict it in your statements and your actions. May Allah protect us from the evil whisperings of shaitan. And may Allah forgive us whatever shortcomings we have performed as human beings, whether knowingly or unknowingly. We just came out of Ramadan, the month of forgiveness. Our hope is that our mistakes, you would have forgiven us, O Allah. We hope sincerely in your forgiveness. And we are so determined out of your permission not to fall into those mistakes again. So we hope that you grant us the tawfiq out of your mercy not to fall into these mistakes anymore. Each and every one of us, we know where the shoe hurts us. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all, to forgive our mistakes and our shortcomings, and make us from the people that he is pleased with in this world and in the hereafter. I would like to stop here at the evening lab today. I would have ordinarily wanted this class to be a question and answer session, but I think that some of the things would have happened to some of us within the period that the classes had stopped. We'll all fall around and under these issues that we had tried to highlight today. May Allah forgive us all. Tomorrow we'll be starting a very, very interesting hadith. Very interesting hadith. Also, that is about not hurting the neighbor. We must not hurt our neighbor any bit, whether in terms of our statements or in terms of our actions. May Allah protect us from hurting the neighbor. May Allah make us from amongst the people who have the best of neighbors too, because it is from goodness to have a good neighbor. If you're a good person and you have a bad neighbor, it is trouble. If you're a bad person, you have a bad neighbor, it is trouble. If you are a managing person and the neighbor is bad, so we also beg Allah and ask his protection from evil neighbors. I think we can stop here, inshallah, so that we can take the few questions we have, and then we'll proceed in the class tomorrow, inshallah. Abu Yusuf.
Jazakumullahu khairan, ya Shaykhana.
Ameen wa
antum.
Ameen wa iyakum.
This one says, putting on our generator for power in our homes, will it be from arming our neighbors due to the sand and the smoke that comes out of it?
If you know that your neighbor will be hurt by it, it may cause harm to him. It may not cause harm to him. The exhumes, what the carbon monoxide, as they call it, that is released by the generating set, be sure that it is not in the direction of the window of your neighbor, that it gets into their home. These are things that we must be careful about. Likewise, the sound. You must be sure that you are not turning on that generator at a time that your neighbors are asleep. You will be enjoying the fan, but the noise does not allow your neighbor to sleep, especially if it is near a place that can really hurt them. For the sake of Allah, remove it. Don't hurt your neighbor in terms of anything. The generating set can be a means of bringing harm to your neighbor. We all know how it sounds. The sound and the exhume are means of hurt to other people. Take it away from where it will bring hurt from them. Look for alternatives. These days there are solar systems. Those ones don't bring noise. They are even safer for us. And from my own calculations, they are also safer economically. You can look for alternatives, but be sure that you are not enjoying the power inside your house from your generating set, and that your neighbor will be at the receiving end of that your enjoyment. Fear Allah. May Allah protect us all.
This one says, is the hadith only, the hadith we read today, is it only specific to the neighbors, or is Othin or Amin other Muslims like co-wives included?
Well, your co-wives are from the first of your neighbors because they are part of your family. Your co-wife is part of your family. So be sure that you are not hurting her. So how can you be a woman who you make Qiyamul Layl, you make Sadaqah, you fast Monday and Thursday, and then you abuse your co-wife? She's part of your home. So if you are not allowed in Islam to abuse someone who lives in another house, why will you be abusive to a woman that you are living in the same house together? That you abuse your co-wife being from the aspects of bad character is worse. Some people, it is their husband. The major point of abuse is the husband. They say anything, they say what they like to the husband. It is worse than that of the neighbor, because the husband has a greater right over you than your neighbor. We've expressed all of this. The husband has a greater right over the wife than the neighbor. So the wife who is making Qiyamul Layl, in fact, the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, she will not enjoy the sweetness of Iman when the woman becomes negligent regarding the rights of her husband. She will not enjoy the sweetness of Iman. The time a woman will enjoy the sweetness of Iman is when she adds dutifulness to her husband. From the punishment for a woman who is not dutiful to her husband, who abuses the husband, is that she will not enjoy the sweetness of Iman. Let her fast Ramadan. Let her do sadaqahs. Let her pray, observe Qiyamul Layl. She will be observing it. The rewards may be written down for her, but she will not enjoy the sweetness that we enjoy when we perform acts of worship if she's still undutiful to her husband. And one of the worst ways of being undutiful to the husband is to be abusive to the husband. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sorry that I'm mentioning this hadith in this circumstance, but I like to mention it for us to know the evil of being abusive to the husband. A man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith of Muslim says, my wife is so abusive, there is nothing she can say to me. You know the advice of the Prophet to that husband? He said, Taliq her, divorce her. A man came to complain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his wife. Who can say anything to him? The Prophet said in one single word, Taliq her, divorce her. So the abusive wife is not a good wife. When a woman becomes abusive, unfortunately abusing the husband, she's not a good wife. The one who is abusive of the neighbors, the Prophet said, La khayra fiha. So what is the khayr in the one who is abusive to her husband? There is no khayr with you, oh sister. May Allah protect you and all of us. And as we have said at the beginning of this class, go back and rectify it. Don't like to continue with that. Rectify yourself. Adjust it. Seek repentance and change. This is the honorable part of the honorable children of Adam. May Allah not make us people who be behaving like the children of Shaitan. Shaitan is the one who, when he commits a sin, instead of rectifying it, he begins to ascribe, so-so person caused me to do it. If they say, stop being abusive to your husband, you say, oh, the husband caused, he made me to abuse him. Like Shaitan. Shaitan says, Allah made him to fall prey. he is looking for a means. The issue is don't abuse the person. That the person had done something bad to you does not justify the abuse. May Allah protect all of us. So don't abuse your husband. Don't abuse your co-wives. Because when you become abusive of them, you'll be losing the rewards for your good deeds. It's like you are gradually giving your good deeds to your co-wife. Maybe she's not able to perform all the sadaqa. Your own father is a millionaire. Your father is a billionaire. So you came into marriage with billions. You can spend anything. Continue to spend and continue to abuse your co-wife, okay? You will find out that you are giving the rewards of those good deeds to your co-wife. And I adjust such a co-wife to be patient and not reply you, so that she will gently be earning the rewards of those good deeds that you are performing. So I adjust, or nobody should be so, sorry to use this word, but it's just appropriate in the circumstance, unreasonable. You abuse people just as you like. You insult the people just as you like. Your good deeds are going to them, and then you are losing. You are becoming from amongst them, hopefully soon. May Allah protect us from this evil. So it includes your co-wife, your parents, your relatives. They have a greater right that they may be protected from your abuse. Don't abuse them. Don't say your neighbors. The hadith we have read today is about the neighbors. So if you are prohibited from abusing neighbors, how about those who are right inside the house with you or who are connected to you by lineage? Such prohibition is definitely stronger. May Allah forgive all of us. Now, Maba Yusuf.
This one says, today's lecture made me scared again about neighbors. Please, can you please kindly remind us who our neighbors are? I'm worried about my good deeds.
May Allah protect you and make you gain from the good deeds, and protect all of us from being abusive and causing harm to our neighbors. Our neighbors, like we had described in the previous classes, they are those who are near us in residence. Those who, with their home, they are near us. They hear us. You can call out a name of a neighbor from your house. You meet your neighbor in the masjid, in the street masjid. They are from your neighbors. And in one of the reports, some of the early Muslims counted them to be 40 houses in front, at the back, to the right, and to the left. So anybody who lives near you is your neighbor. Anybody who lives near you is your neighbor. And the nearer that neighbor is to you, the stronger the rights of neighborhood. The nearer that neighbor, the stronger the rights. The nearer the person, the stronger the rights. So these are our neighbors. Every person who lives near you is your neighbor. May Allah protect all of us and rectify all of us. And like we have said, these things are hard to come by, especially in the generation that we live in. But everybody must try to continue to struggle against his weak soul. Don't fall prey for the weakness of your soul and for the evil whisperings of shaitan. You must continue to struggle. This is al-mujahada. It is jihad in nafs now, the jihad against your soul. Many of us will be thinking about jihad, going to fight a battle somewhere. This one is a stronger battle. The battle the individual fights regarding redeeming himself away from sins and faults. May Allah protect all of us. Abba Yusuf.
This one says, who is the author of the book used for the class?
The author of the book is Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Al-Mughira ibn Bardisba Al-Bukhari. He is Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. He lived in the second century of Islam, going to the third century. He is Al-Bukhari, the author of the Sahih, Al-Musnad Al-Musannafu, fi Al-Jami'u al-Sahih al-Musnad, the book that he has compiled about authentic ahadith regarding the Sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ayyam, the days, the biography of the Prophet, the lifetime of the Prophet. That book is popularly called Sahih al-Bukhari. That person who authored Sahih al-Bukhari is the author of this book, Al-Adab. Is the author of this book, Al-Adab. We mentioned that at the beginning of this class. He has compiled these ahadith, some of them from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of them from the companions, and some of them from the tabi'un. And they are all about manners and good character. I hope that that is clear, inshallah.
Ameen. This one says, please advise us regarding a neighbor who is unappreciative of the good you do to them and who responds to your good with evil.
When a neighbor is like this, one of the first things is will encourage us to do is to make dua. Be a person who makes the dua a lot. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su'i fi dari al-maqam. This dua we taught us here. We read it here this morning. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jari su'i fi dari al-maqam. Fa inna jaru dunya yatahawwal. Seek, ask Allah, say this dua a lot. The second thing is that Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Basri, a tabi'i, that is one of the students of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Laysa husnu al-jiwar kaffu al-adha. He said, being nice to your neighbor is not just about not hurting the neighbor. Today we talked about not hurting the neighbor, not bringing harm to the neighbor. Yes, this is part of being nice to the neighbor, but it's not restricted to it. Goodness to the neighbor is not restricted to not bringing harm to your neighbor. He said, Rahimahullah, walakin husnul jiwar ihtimalul adha. He said, what is rather from the best things to do to your neighbor is what? Ihtimalul adha. Managing the hurt that the neighbor will bring to you. Tolerating the hurt from your neighbor. So the second thing we have to note after dua regarding a bad neighbor is that you tolerate what they bring to you. You tolerate it. You don't respond to their evil with evil. You don't respond to the evil behavior, the evil speech of a neighbor with another evil. No. You tolerate from the aspects of good neighborliness in Islam is what? Ihtimalul adha. Ihtimalu adhal jiwar. You know, managing to cope with, tolerate the inconvenience that your neighbor will have. This is from the major aspects of husnul jiwar, good neighborliness. So don't respond evil for evil. And from the ways of tolerating such neighbors are that if you know one good way of approaching him or her to tell her what she's doing, please try to do it. If you know one good way, maybe in the mosque, maybe in the community, maybe one elder in the community that that neighbor respects, things like this, you can bring such complaints you have to that person so that the person may not even know that he's causing you harm. So it's good to also thirdly find a means of rectifying the person. So three suggestions we gave. The first one is that we make dua to seek Allah's protection from the evil of an evil neighbor. The second thing is that we do not reply hurt with hurt. When a neighbor becomes hurting, when a neighbor becomes discomforting, don't direct another discomfort to that neighbor. Because from the aspects of good neighborliness is that we are able to tolerate the excesses of our neighbors. This won't happen a lot. There may be neighbors who park their cars on the road. Every day, he wants to park his car on the road. And he'll be the last person to come to the house. He'll park his car right on the road. So all of you, tomorrow morning or Monday, when you want to go out, you start looking for him. He does it deliberately so that you all must knock his door in the morning. This is not from the aspects of being good to the neighbor. Some neighbors, we know what neighbors do. May Allah protect all of us. So please, let's try to tolerate the neighbor. When you tolerate the neighbor, it's from the aspects of good neighborliness. The top thing we said was that if we can find a way of correcting the neighbor, follow that way. If we can find a good way to correct the neighbor, we should follow that way. These are three suggestions we have for us. May Allah protect all of us. Can we stop here today, inshallah?
Yes, but as usual, people are asking about the husband that abuses his wife.
Yes, usually when we talk about a woman not being abusive to the husband, the women think that, oh, you are oppressing us. This mentality is not a right mentality. Each time the rights of Iran is mentioned, women think that, does that now mean that women don't have a right? For me, I usually speak about that mentality. It is a defense mechanism that Shaitan brings, not to make the woman to stop the abuse. If your husband abuses you, it does not justify you abusing him. Is this clear? If your husband abuses you, it does not just, that is not evidence for you that you can now abuse him. If your husband abuses you, it is not evidence that you can now abuse him. If your parents abuse you, is that evidence that you can abuse your parents? Does one evil justify another one? So don't bring it as a means of justifying yourself that, oh, my husband abused me first, so I have to abuse him. If your parents abuse you, because the person who is in the category of a parent should be a man. The person in the category of a parent regarding a man is his own parents. For a woman, it is a man who is in that category. A married woman is the most rightful person. The one who has the biggest right over you is your husband. For a woman, the one who has the biggest right over you is your husband. For a man, the person who has the biggest right over you is your mother. So as a man cannot abuse his mother back, that is how a woman cannot abuse her husband back. The way a man cannot abuse his mother back, if your mother says, you are naughty, you are idiot, you are foolish, you are stupid. Do you say to her, mommy, I think you are also stupid? Do you say this? So when we say husbands should not, the wife should not be abusive to the husband. Women say, oh, why are you not talking first about the husbands not abusing wives? It's like saying when we say a child should not abuse the mother. Oh man, oh married man, don't abuse your mother. And then some men begin to say, tell our mothers to not to abuse us. This is not a respectful thing to do. If you say a man, make sure you don't abuse your mother. Then the man begins to send questions. Tell our mothers to not to abuse us. Is this a respectful thing to do? Each time we say that a woman should not be abusive to the husband, so women start asking questions. I tell our husband to not to abuse. Yes, we will tell the husband not to abuse you. And it is not lawful for the wife to your husband to abuse you. But it is worse, most unlawful for you to abuse him back, even if he becomes abusive. I think this thing must be rightly understood. And so each time we talk about the right of a man over the woman, people start asking, how about the right of the woman over a man? As if we are in a 1+1=2 situation. Please, this man is a mentality, it's a mindset, the generational mindset. We should stop it. Like I said, just like when we say to a man, don't abuse your mother, no man should come to say, oh, tell my mother not to abuse me. No woman should come and start saying, when we say don't abuse your husband, oh, tell my husband to not to abuse him. This is not a right mentality. If your husband abuses, it does not justify you to abuse your husband. At the same time, we appeal to the men to be calm and to be good in their approach to their wife. If the man now makes mistake, it does not justify it that the mistake that he makes, let's assume that we can award marks to it. If the man gets a -5 mark for abusing your wife, when the wife abuses him back with the same expression, she gets -50, for example. It is worse for you. Even the same words that the man said to you, you don't say back to him. If your mother tells you as a man, your mother says you are stupid, for example, may Allah protect all of us. Yeah. If you say you are stupid again, you reply that same word to your mother. If it is possible that she was wrong to have told you that, if it is possible that she was wrong to have told you that you are stupid, and she gains minus one, your own will be minus 1 billion to tell your mother, mommy, you are stupid too. The same thing, this is just the way to understand a woman replying the abuse of the husband. There's no other example that we can give. The way a man cannot reply her mother, his mother, that is the way a woman cannot reply her husband. The way a man cannot reply his mother, that is the way a woman cannot reply her husband. I think that is okay now. It will resolve this kind of a mindset of the women thinking that, oh, they are cheating us. They are only telling us not to abuse our husbands. Yes, that is the basic thing. Because to abuse the husband is a bigger sin than that. The husband abuses you. Yes, we'll also say, husband, don't abuse your wife for the sake of Allah. Don't abuse your wife. Don't be an abusive person. Don't be an insulting person. Yes, we'll say this to the husband. But it does not justify a woman returning the abuse to her husband. I hope that the question would have been answered, inshallah. Go back to the illustration. As a man cannot say to his mother, mommy, stop abusing me. In fact, to say that to your mother is itself abuse. If a man is abused by his mother and he says, mommy, stop abusing, you're already abusing your mother. You don't have any other thing than silence. The same thing for a woman. When your husband becomes abusive to you, wallahi, you don't have any other thing than silence. May Allah protect all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.